Good morning, folks. Good morning to people in church and good morning to people on Zoom. Rob is going to take us through the intimations.
A very warm welcome to our service, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. We celebrate Pentecost this morning and also Her Majesty the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. Cairnhill Gala Week. The gala programme starts this afternoon with the barbecue chilli cook-off taking place in the manse gardens between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. The full programme for the week can be found in the gala booklet and on our intimation sheet, which is available on the church Facebook page. The main event is, of course, next Saturday, the 11th, with a 12 noon start. The gala craft stall, please speak to Elaine on 881713 if you can help at the church craft stall on Saturday. Now, you may have seen out in the garden there was 3 cherry trees planted beside the church car park entrance on Friday to mark the Platinum Jubilee. The guiding and scouting organisations in the church each planted a tree. Summer services. During the summer holidays, our Sunday service will continue at the normal time of 11:30 a.m. On the 10th, 17th and 24th of July, the service will be slightly shorter. There will be no live Zoom facility on these days. Audio recordings will be available on our website afterwards. Intimations. Weekly intimations will continue to be published on our Facebook page and will be emailed to subscribers until the 3rd of July. The final sheet will carry notices relating to the summer holiday period. On the 21st of August, a printed sheet will once again be available each Sunday at church in addition to the Facebook and email versions resuming. Finally, here is the order of service for those who can see a screen. Thank you.
Perhaps I could add one little intimation for those who are not too tired at the end of Gala Day next Saturday. The Scottish Chamber Choir are having a concert in Limekilns Church. So it's quite an interesting thing to have down there. So if you would like to go there, you can get tickets online. You can also get tickets at the door, but that will be electronically and payment will be by card. And Marcia, who is part of the choir, is going to use me to work the tech. So I'm suggesting that perhaps getting the tickets ahead of time might be a safer bet. We are here to worship Almighty God. So let's begin our service by singing a psalm. This is found at hymn number 96. You are before me, God, you are behind.
Thank you.
dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we thank you for your many good gifts, not least that which we receive through your Holy Spirit. We make our offering to reveal our gratitude to you and our desire to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, the first of our prayers today. Our prayers are being led by George.
I've entitled this prayer, A Gathering Prayer at Pentecost and of Confession, and I thank the Church of Scotland website for it. Let us pray. God, at Pentecost, you spoke through flame and fire. As we gather through the power of your spirits, may we follow your call. God, at Pentecost, your advocate spoke truth in our world. As we gather through the power of your spirits, may we hear and obey. God, at Pentecost, you celebrated the gifts of diversity in cultures. As we gather through the power of your spirit, may you hear our heart languages of prayer and praise. God, at Pentecost, your helper offered peace to every troubled heart. As we gather through the power of your spirit, may you calm every anxious heart. God, you are our truth teller, sifter of human hearts, strainer of human motives. God, in your truth, you reveal us like Babel. We build our towers to be known and recognized, to gather to ourselves our human achievements. God, in your truth, you reveal our love for the law of similar, the comfort we find in the familiar, the cultures and people we know. God, you reveal our struggles with difference, our rigidity in the face of diversity. We pause now in confession and in a few moments of silence, making space for the Spirit of Truth, sifter of human hearts and strainer of motives. God, we hear your words of forgiveness. Peace I leave with you. God's peace is given to us if you, God, our hearts are no longer troubled. And for this we gratefully say, Amen.
The second of our hymns is also based upon the Psalms. It's number 65. We sing it through twice. Jubilate, everybody.
Oh,
So as already been said, this is Pentecost Sunday. We very often celebrate this as the birthday of the church. The disciples were gathered together as they had been doing since Jesus' resurrection. They're waiting for what he promised just before his ascension, that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. We think of Pentecost as a Christian celebration, but in origin it is a Jewish harvest festival. The word Pentecost is simply the Greek name for the Jewish Feast of Weeks. The word means 50 days. 50 days after Passover, for us, 50 days after Easter. 50 days is 7 weeks. And that's because the Jewish people counted inclusively. So if they wanted to say in a week's time, it was 8 days, because next Sunday is, in their counting, 8 days from now, because today counts as well as the day you get to. So here they are at the first great festival after Passover. The first festival since Jesus was crucified and rose from the grave, and the disciples are together. I've often thought of this as that moment when they go from being disciple to apostle. Disciple simply means a follower or pupil. Apostle means someone who is sent and sent with a message. The birth of the church has many similarities to the physical birth of a child, not least because the word for spirit is exactly the same as that for breath. And of course, what we associate with the birth of a child is that first breath and very often a cry. The Holy Spirit breathes life into the disciples and they burst out into the world. They have much growing and learning to go through. They are part of a growing body. And of course, a recurring illustration of what church is that church is a body with different parts working together. We, the church, are born of the Spirit. So today is about celebrating a birthday. Of course, we are also aware that this is the weekend chosen for the celebration of the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. That's why I put with the kind of setting, the scene, that it's about birthdays and anniversaries. I was a little bit surprised when I noticed that it was this weekend that had been chosen. My first thought was, oh, this is about a secular society choosing what is already a holiday weekend. It is a mere convenience for our society. The church, forgotten. And of course, it might be a bit of an inconvenience for those of us trying to plan worship. But when I thought about it, I could not imagine that this weekend had been chosen without consulting the Queen. And of course, our Queen has been very explicit about her Christian faith. So she could not have been unaware that this is Pentecost. So with a bit of thought, what better day to say that it is by the Spirit of God that she has served the nation so consistently for 70 years as monarch, and of course more years because she was serving before she became queen. So today we celebrate a birthday and an anniversary to the glory of God and to his servants on this earth, those who are our examples of service. We have three readings this morning, all tied into that kind of overall theme. A psalm of praise. The story from the beginning of Acts 2 about the day of Pentecost and about what it is to live as God's people from Paul's letter to the Colossians. And Rob is going to read for us.
The first reading is from the Old Testament book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 106 from verses 1 to 5. Give thanks to God. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare his praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation, and join your inheritance in giving praise. The second reading is from the New Testament book of Acts, Acts 2, verses 1 to 4, Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And the third reading is from Colossians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 12. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope that's stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the days we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Hymn number 500, Lord of creation, to you be all praise.
Thank you.
In Edinburgh, there is a bit of a fright for the unwary visitor. It can be quite amusing to watch people jump with surprise as the 1 o'clock gun goes off. When I moved to Edinburgh in the mid-1970s, I got used to it. Although, strangely, the pigeons never did. If you're ever in Princes Street Gardens at 1 o'clock, the gun goes bang, the pigeons go up, they do a circle and then straight back down. What surprised me was, at the beginning of June, there wasn't just one bang. They seemed to fire guns an awful lot. And it was explained to me that this was the day of the Queen's official birthday, something that had completely passed me by for some reason. The Queen's official birthday is the second Saturday in June. The reason for this is quite mundane. It is the uncertain weather in April when her actual birthday is. This follows on a tradition that began in 1748, when George II thought that it was too cold in November for things like trooping the colour. I don't know if you knew that, but there's a piece of useless information if you need it. The Queen's actual birthday, 21st of April, is a more private event. Her official birthday, a more public event. I suppose this gives a bit of reason for this weekend as the beginning of the celebration of the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. For our nation and for our Commonwealth, this is a unique moment in history. But not just in terms of the past, leading up to a moment where we have the first time that a monarch has reached 70 years in this country. It is unlikely to happen again in the foreseeable future. As I looked at the rainbows standing outside, and the beavers and all the youngsters, even babies that are being carried around, it is unlikely that anyone living today will celebrate such an event in their lifetime. Remarkable though the numbers and statistics are, we are not really celebrating numbers today. We could perhaps dismiss the gushing royalists and some parts of the press that are besotted by all things royal. What is much more remarkable is the number of folk who have said, I am not a royalist, or I am not really in favour of the royal family, but have a deep and abiding respect for our Queen. It was in a speech at her 21st birthday that the then Princess Elizabeth said, I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great imperial family to which we all belong. This was a statement made to the Commonwealth. Princess Elizabeth did not know that in less than 5 years' time she would be queen. She could not possibly know the number of years that she would serve, nor the challenges that she would face. When I look at the Queen, I think how many of us would want our lives to be so under a microscope. Not just working life, but private life. What is it to live under such constant observation and scrutiny? Some who are dismissive of the Queen and the royal family because of their wealth and privilege conveniently forget the responsibility and devotion to duty that has marked the Queen's life. And that through all the challenges and crises that there have been in these 70 years of her reign, crises both in the world, the nation, and of course in family life. When I began planning for this service, I did as I usually do and went looking for a quotation and thought, well, for this service, why don't I pick something that the Queen has said? And of course, the thing that you do nowadays is you hit the button that says Google. So I Googled it. And there in the screeds of quotations, I was surprised just the amount that reflected her Christian faith. And so there was a wealth to choose from. The reason for my choice is the thought that wise leaders choose good counselors. Good leaders surround themselves with good advisors. And so I chose this quotation. To what greater inspiration and counsel can we turn than to the imperishable truth to be found in this treasure house, the Bible? To understand the Bible, it is to the Holy Spirit that we look. It is by reading with the Spirit that we understand the words. And of course, it is the Holy Spirit that strengthens and enables us to live out our faith. The Holy Spirit is the life breath of the church. The Holy Spirit is the life breath of the believer. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What this means is that we have life by the Spirit, but we still have choice. Our choice to believe is not something we do once and then everything else falls into place. The Christian life is one of choosing, constantly choosing to go God's way. When we make a promise, that promise is made real by what we do. And so when I made that confession of faith in my later teen years, I made a promise to God. Now, I know that I'm good at making promises, and even with great sincerity, only to fail. I don't know how many times I've promised myself things. I'm really going to do it this time. Without fail, my mind is set. And then I go and do the wrong thing. I suppose one of the best examples are New Year resolutions. These, famously, are things we promise with great sincerity and maybe even begin with great commitment. And we almost all know they're not going to last. What makes things even more difficult is the society that we live in. Our society has become one of almost infinite choice. And what we do is very often based on how we feel. How do you feel about it today? We've also become a society where we are much more likely to know what our rights are rather than the responsibilities we have. When the Queen made that famous promise of service, it was in a very different time. What is impressive is that she has kept her promise through all of the changing times. This promise has not been affected by those who are her supporters, nor by those who are her opponents. She has kept to that promise through times of great trial, personal, yes, political, national, worldwide. As I was looking through all of those quotations, I came across another one that struck me. She was asked a question about what she would do if Britain, if the UK, if the United Kingdom became a republic. And her answer was, "We will go quietly," which shows great integrity. So I think we can say that God has blessed our Queen so that she may be a blessing to us, and has certainly been an example of faith, commitment, and duty. But what do we do with such a good example? Do we wave our flags and say hooray and then go our own way? Or is such an example for us? So I'm going to leave you with a question. What about our commitment, our responsibility, and our duty? The promises that we have made, whether they be a long time ago or more recent. I'll simply leave you to ponder that as George comes up to lead us in our prayers for other people.
Our prayers for the world and others. Let us pray. When we look at our world, we see war and conflict. Today, again, we pray for all who are suffering because of the ongoing war in Ukraine. We pray for the bereaved, the injured, the homeless, all the innocent men and women and children. God, at this time at Pentecost, send your Holy Spirit to stop this war and all other areas of conflict in our world today. When we look at the damage in our world we have caused by our activity, resulting in the horrific changes in our climate, we pray for all who are suffering death and destruction by famine, drought, soaring temperatures, vast fires, landslides, melting ice caps, and flooding. God, at this time at Pentecost, send your Holy Spirit to stop our destruction of your world you have created for us. When we look at our country, we pray for all who are suffering hardship and poverty because of the soaring cost of living through the higher energy prices, higher fuel prices, higher food prices. We also pray for all in the NHS who continue to struggle with the ongoing effect of the COVID-19 virus so that they are able to provide their normal care for all. God, at this time of Pentecost, send your Holy Spirit to guide all decision makers, both locally and nationally, that they make the correct decisions for the better of all. When we look at our church locally and nationally, we pray for all who feel concern and insecurity because of our changes that must be made to provide a platform to achieve the goal of becoming a missionary church once again. Father God, at this time at Pentecost, send your Holy Spirit to guide all the differing church denominations to continue to work together to spread your word of love to all. And so, empowered and renewed by your Spirit, We now pray together the Lord's Prayer with God's church around the world. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're going to sing hymn number 702. This is not the last hymn. I confused people down the road because they stood looking at me as if, well, where's the benediction? So I had to ask them to sit down because we're going to have a platinum jubilee prayer following the singing of this hymn. And then we're going to sing the national anthem as a hymn. But I'll say a bit more about that at that point. So let's sing the hymn 702, Lord in Love and Perfect Wisdom. I'm going to read was written by the Reverend Professor David Ferguson, who just happens to be one of my teachers when I was at New College. David Ferguson is also one of the Queen's chaplains in Scotland. So, Platinum Jubilee Prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, in these days of national celebration, we give thanks for the long reign of Her Majesty the Queen, for her commitment to serve all her people, for her steadiness in every crisis, for her loyalty to the nation and to the Commonwealth, and for the pledge she has made and kept to the honour of all people. We praise and bless you today. Faithful God, we give thanks for those who have supported our Queen in the fulfilment of her work, for the affection and example of her parents, King George and Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, for the family who have accompanied her along the way, and for the devotion of her staff, receive our grateful thanks. Especially, we recall with gratitude the love, strength, and support of the Duke of Edinburgh, husband and trusted companion through 73 years of marriage. Gracious God, we ask your blessing on the Queen as she continues her work amongst us. Sustain and strengthen her in these later years. Grant her the health and strength that she seeks to fulfill her tasks. And bless those who will support her in shouldering new and increased responsibilities. Inspire them and us to continue to lead and serve according to her example. Loving God, we bless you for the faith of Elizabeth, our Queen, her devotion to Jesus Christ, her unashamed witness to his cause, her love of our church, and her commitment to its worship. May we, in our own day and generation, continue in faith and dedication to the same Lord, in whose name we offer these prayers. Amen. And now we are going to sing the national anthem, but not just the first verse as we usually do at kind of at national occasions. We're going to sing the hymn as it is printed in the hymn book, which has three verses. That's hymn number 703, God Save Our Gracious Queen. And to serve the Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, and remain with you always.